try my radio voice. I saw an article about why one hates their own voice so much. It's because when you're speaking within yourself, it resonates in your head and it sounds much lower than when you hear it. Oh my God, my voice sounds so high.
But that's the fun of being people like us, because you hear your voice all the time and you don't hear it in your head, you hear it afterwards.
Somewhat.
And then you sort of kind of try to figure out, maybe possibly kind of, what exactly you're supposed to do in your head so it comes out how you want it to be.
Just try to sound like Howard Stern.
So, would you introduce yourself, please?
Oh, hi, this is Chris from Blondie, from the band. I am...
The Bland Bondi.
The Bland Bondi, yeah.
That would be pretty good. Bondi.
We've been accused of being bland on occasion, among other things.
I don't know about that. Actually, there's a quote, and I didn't write it down, but there was a quote of yours I read in one of the interviews where you said that, you know, you hoped eventually, that you were still a B-level band and you hoped to eventually get to the A-level.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of, I mean, that can be New York, Jewish, chutzpah, but you don't believe that.
The music is kind of in the A-levels, the songs themselves, but
right.
At the moment we're still a cult band, you know.
Oh, I don't think you're a cult band, okay.
I know, it depends on where you are.
One of the things about being old, I mean, I interview all the really, really, really hip, cool young bands. But recently it's been John Cale, Mick Jones, Ian Hunter, you. You get to this age and you look at your life and you go, okay, A, what have I accomplished? B, am I going to live another year or two? And C, what I do is I say, where did it go? Did you ever, and this is a classic question, but I think that, and it's not the back then, but you're sitting here now, you're still doing this. And that's kind of amazing when you think about it, because aside from, you know, the obvious, the Jaggers of the world and the David Johansen that I don't even know how he's still alive, or Lou or any of those guys, it's a chosen few.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I wonder, you know, it's the same stuff. I wonder if Gaga is going to be around in 40 years, you know. I mean, she's great and all, but I don't know. But that's the, you know, and if I had made $20 million when I was 25, would I still be doing this? Probably. I don't know. I mean, I do, you know, I saw a thing on Diddy's Instagram feed where some guy wrote, "Wow, you got so much money. Wow, you're still working." I thought, that's so stupid, man. Why would he not be working? No matter, I mean, that's what he does, you know?
Yeah, well, we have this flood of information, though, so it's,
maybe we're in a generation of sort of cramming where everybody is getting this stuff packed into them very quickly and instantaneously where, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I couldn't, when I was a teenager, I would hear a song on the radio and if I didn't catch the title, forget about it. If I heard something I liked and I didn't get what it was, there was no way to go out and search for it.
Everybody thinks that Blondie was 60s influenced. In the end, you know, you came up in the 70s, really were this, you know, everybody looked back at the 60s and the 70s, and now everybody today looks back
at the
70s and says Blondie's a 70s band.
I have been saying over and over again in interviews that I feel like the 60s has been eclipsed by the 70s.
Yeah, which is weird. Because, yes, you were a 70s band, but back then everybody was listening to the stuff from the 60s.
Yeah, there was nothing else to listen to. And the Rolling Stones' first two albums, to me, are punk rock. You know, people say, name 10 punk rock albums, and I always put the first two Rolling Stones albums
people
in there.
Look at you like, are you kidding me?
No, I mean, they are. Except, they're blues-based, but the sensibilities are all there.
Right. And I think that New York back then was kind of...
Oh, yeah,
it never made it to what Detroit is now, thank goodness.
The South Bronx looked like Dresden after the firebombing, though,
right.
You know.
So you're, you know, you walk in... You know, people talk about clubs being... I talk to British bands like, oh, I played a lot of piss holes. Well, there's no relationship, right, to what that was back then and what it really took to survive in New York back in that time.
It was cheaper, though, so that when I was in the... In the late 60s, I had friends, older sisters and stuff, who had apartments on the Lower East Side that cost $20 a month, $25 a month. That was still out there in the world.
But what's fascinating, because cable back then was used for a whole different type of communication than we use it for now.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you talked about, and I want you to just tell the story that I think is fascinating, is that cable didn't go below 23rd Street back then.
Yeah, no.
So your whole target audience, talking about demographics, you're doing a TV show that's completely aimed at down there, but your audience
was all upper class, upper middle class. I had to go to my well-off uncle's house to watch it, who
lived
uptown. So
wasn't that fun, though, that you were spreading the gospel to the target audience that was nowhere near ready for any of that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there was, you know, I mean, but all those people used to call up, I don't know where the heck they were situated, because we had the best collection of really strange people who would call up regularly. So I don't know where they were in the situated, you know.
Of the stories that haven't been told, and the really obscure, weird stuff, if somebody really was to dig, what was on there that people go, are you kidding me?
On TV Party?
Yeah.
Well, I just like everybody, I don't know. I mean, Klaus Nomi has had such a comeback in recent years. He's long gone, and he was on many, many times, and he used to do his cooking. He was a chef as well as a singer. TV Party was just an all-around trip and a half. Glenn is trying to institute it once again. I mean, there are little clips online. We've done like 3 shows already.
So back to the B-band and the cult band and all of that. You know, as I pull out my Live at CBGB's album, as I pull out all of that stuff, as I really look at the lineup of Max's Kansas City, you know, which of course people can read a million times, that way before there was that scene, there was the other scene. Such a high percentage of those bands that you played with that were there have never been heard from again.
Yeah. Another Pretty Face. Where is Another Pretty Face was such a big band on the scene.
So I did a little research, and it was kind of fun for me because the number ones were the dance songs.
Well, yeah, well, all pop music is now dance music.
I mean, but even for you, right? You know, Heart of Glass, Call Me, Titus, High Rapture, those were your number ones. Then the others still were top 40. They made it to like number 27, 28, 29.
I don't know. I mean, why is all pop music now dance music? Is it because of twerking? I don't know, you know.
So for me, a set with Mike Chapman is Sweet, Susie Quattro, Racy, The Knack, Blondie. That's an interesting, you know,
Chapman,
an interesting mix, right? Because he did produce so much of your stuff. But when you sat down, were you fans of Sweet and of those bands back then?
A little. I mean, Clem was a big fan of those guys, more so. I mean, I wasn't even that aware of it. I knew about Susie a little. The Knack were afterwards, you know, that was after us. My Sharona is like one of the Godhead songs of all time. No, it wasn't so much that. It wasn't the history. I don't even know if I was that much aware of Chapman's background except that he was involved with a lot of successful songs.
So for you, was it more that you knew he was a good producer, that he could get a good sound, he could mix to?
Yeah, and we all hit it off right away. He was a really nice guy. He was he was also a real taskmaster, and he managed to balance, you know, pushing us with keeping everything lighthearted. So it was terrific.
40 years of photography and capturing stuff. How do you even edit? How do you even figure out what to choose for a book when there's like, I mean, how many negatives? How many photos?
Well, I have a big body of stuff that was all shot from the 70s into the 80s. It's not 40 years of the stuff that I'm working on the book with, because then I got seduced by digital photography, which is a different reality. I'm really familiar with the stuff. We just pulled a ton of stuff, and we're going through it now for this book deal.
So, Ghosts of Download. It's a really, those words together with an of in between.
Yeah.
Is really cool.
Oh, thank you.
It's just awesome.
Well, JH, we bounced a lot of stuff back and forth because he was
awesome.
He had a big part in the titling.
Because it really says it all, doesn't it? When you're a band that's been around for 40 years and you're still here today, you're not a ghost yet. But let's face it, where's that music going to be? How many people are going to put that music on a turntable?
It's good. Yeah, you're giving me a new insight into the title meeting. We're also thinking in the William Gibson aspect of these creatures that are in the ether of the, you know, the electricity out there.
I'm just thinking like it can like bring you to like a whole new audience who just like, you know, says, oh, wow.
We'll see.
I love Twilight and I love Downloads.
Yeah.
I'm there, man. Bombo Estéreo.
Yeah, there's,
you know,
well,
I
that
mean,
Fuego track
Sistema
is
Solar and the Oakland guys, who I was just watching some of their stuff, and I mean Latin hip hop. This stuff is just
gorgeous. It's so fresh to me, and I just started going crazy when I started hearing this stuff. And it's in Spanish, so it doesn't cross over. This is all the modern electronica stuff is what I've been into, and the reggaeton. I really love reggaeton. And there's a lot of anti-reggaeton sentiment. In the Latin community, there's a lot of diehard rock fans who don't want to know about reggaeton because that's their equivalent of sort of pop, you know, frivolous music or something. I'm not sure. But I just really was attracted to all this stuff.
But this album is what? 16 tracks, right?
There's 16 12 tracks, yeah. Like five bonus tracks, yeah, there's 13 that's going to be on the thing.
Right. So the single doesn't really do that yet. So people are in for an interesting ride, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope people like it. It's, you know, and it's also the, I heard George Harrison say, you know, I learned the songs from the record. Now we're playing them live. They're taking on a whole other character, too. The live versions are different than the recorded version, certainly.
But how cool is it to have the ability to bring this music to people in a big way?
Yeah, I know. We've been playing this cumbia track live, and every time we do it, I keep going, oh, we're bringing cumbia to the American masses, you know?
Exactly. So we live in the world of 1.4 million likes on Facebook, which is what Blondie has right now. And yet, festivals didn't exist back then, although Bill Graham very easily would have put, you know, Blondie next to Public Enemy back in the day at the Fillmore, would he not have?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been
so
unusual.
Eclectic,
so has that much really changed, or festivals actually given us the ability to come back to this kind of weird music discovery?
Maybe. I always reference the old days of FM radio where you would hear the airplay next to James Brown, too, before there was genres and subgenres. And
you've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
I just thought that's such a cool song. I play something.
But to make
that
a ballad is pretty interesting stuff.
Well, that was Saltzman's idea. That was Jeff's idea, which I said, this is so crazy, it's probably a good idea.
What I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And it's two Blondie songs, although in your case, we better do a club. Three Blondie songs is the bread. And then this is not a playlist, because what I do is no matter what you tell me to play, I play it for 40 minutes like the old days.